Real Ghost Stories Online.
Sometimes objects that people give us in this life before they pass end up meaning a lot to us. They end up being very cherished possessions. Sometimes it's a ring. Sometimes it's whatever it may be. It can be silly things too. I mean, it can be a drill. It can be a coffee table. It's things that remind us of who those people were, what they liked, what they represented on this planet, and who they were to us and for us. And why we hold on to some of those things and cherish them for the rest of our lives. In our next story, a woman has a ring that her grandmother had given her. It was a sign to her that she was still with her, even when the ring itself disappears unexpectedly. Take a listen. My Nana died in early October of 2005, as I've mentioned before. It was a huge loss for me. But as close as we were, she was like a parent to me, as much as a grandparent. I never had any real doubt in my mind that she is still here keeping an eye on things, but she's done a few things to confirm it for me, mostly revolving around a plain ring. It was late one evening, around 9:30, I think. My younger nephew had a late night in his room, being a little hellion. He had climbed into his playpen, which sat against the wall between my room and his, and was banging the side of it quite hard against the wall. Directly on the other side of the wall against his playpen sat is a shelf high on my wall with a few wolf statues, and my computer desk sits catty-corner against the same wall. I was already frustrated. I just had not had a good week, and I wanted to get to sleep, but his banging against the wall kept knocking my statues over. I had set them back up when I thought he was done, and he would start again. Finally, probably sometime after midnight, he conked out. I got the statue set back up and conked out myself. I woke up in the morning and went to my computer to get a little writing done. I generally start my mornings with guitar or writing since it wakes me up about as fast as coffee. I happened to glance up to make sure my nephew had not woken up and started banging his playpen against the wall again and knocking over my statues. I noticed something a little off. I did not have my glasses on yet, so I could not quite see what it was. And I stood to get a closer look, hanging on the nose of one of the statues. One I had set back up the previous night was a ring. It threw me off a little, and I grabbed it and examined it. Silver in color, a little tarnished, a fake tear-shaped gemstone set into it, with flowers engraved around it. It had little imperfections in the design of some of the leaves of the flowers. It threw me off a little, but it was early, and I still needed waking up before I could do any real thinking over it. I set it on the desk in front of me and went on to writing. As I woke up more and as my family began to wake up, I got a little more curious. Ended up asking my brother and my sister-in-law about it, and they said that they had never seen it before. My brother mentioned that it looked like something our Nana would have worn, both in style and size. She had very slim fingers, as do I, and it fit the middle of my left hand perfectly. My thoughts were that she had stopped by the time when I was having trouble to reassure me that there were still people looking out for me. A few months later, the ring disappeared. By disappeared, I hardly mean I lost it. I kept it on all the time, and it only took it off to wash my hands or take it on a shower. I took it off one night and set it on my bathroom counter, along with another ring, a couple of necklaces and a bracelet before getting in the shower. When I got out, the ring was missing. I cleaned my bathroom from top to bottom the next day looking for it, and it was positively nowhere to be found. I double-checked the pockets of the pants I was wearing in case I had absent-mindedly pocketed it, but it was not there. It seemed to have just gone. I was a little depressed over the fact that I had somehow managed to lose it and frustrated me that I had no idea how it had been lost in the first place. I did not tell anyone else of the loss. It would not have seemed such a big deal to anyone besides me. I figured to everyone else it was only a ring. To me, it was a gift from my Nana, possibly the last gift I would ever receive from her. My family had their own problems to deal with, however, and I kept it to myself. Another few months passed. was coming home from the store with my brother and a friend early one evening. The sun had not begun to set yet, and it was still exceptionally light outside. As I stepped out of the back seat of the van, I happened to catch a glimpse of someone in the open doorway of a house we used as storage, my grandmother and grandfather's first house on the property. As I did a double take, my friend was opening his door, looking through the windows of his door. Whoever it was had gone, and the front of the house was closed and locked as it always was. But they had left a very distinct impression on me from that momentary glance. Though I had not been thinking about her at that time at all that day, I felt sure it was my Nana. I barely caught a glimpse of the figure, only enough to know that it had been female and nothing else, but something told me it had been her. Later that same night, entering the bathroom to take a shower, I found that ring in the same spot on the bathroom counter. I remembered placing it on months ago, sitting there as though it had always been there. My bathroom had been cleaned once more since the loss of that ring, and it had been nowhere to be found. I was thrilled, though later I did ask my brother and my sister-in-law if they had found it and left it there. They told me they had not and that they had never even been aware that I had misplaced it in the first place. Why it disappeared in the first place? I'm honestly not sure. Could be something else in the house that took it. My best guess would be my shadow person, seeing how attached I was to it, took it to send me into a negative spell. I've called upon my mother and my Nana to protect me from this thing before, and it's worked. That alone tells me that he holds some fear of them, and my Nana likely could have gotten it back or found wherever it was he hid the ring and delivered it back to me. As I'm careful with this ring as I ever was before, the period which it went missing, and it remains in the middle finger of my left hand at nearly any given moment. Think of it what you will, discard it as nonsense, but it is what it is to me. Even if it does seem bogus to you, it is my way of having her with me all the time. And that, in and of itself, is comforting enough for me.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.